I discovered that God healed Job. Listen to this. I bet you never heard a preacher really preach on this. I discovered that God healed Job and made him twice as wealthy as he had been before his great tragedy. Bible scholars said his tragic ordeal only lasted probably between 6 months, 6 to 9 months. And after that, God healed him, restored everything he had double. And we talk about poor old Job. He suffered all his life and had all these problems. That's not true. The Bible says that's not true. So then he lived, after all of that, 140 years healthy and well and very prosperous. But, you know, there could have been reason for all those things he went through. Abraham lived at the same time, and he didn't go through all those things. One lived by faith, the other one operated in fear, doubt, and unbelief. Look at this. We have a new covenant, and we have new covenant authority over Satan that Job certainly didn't have. Job didn't even know there was a devil. You remember, Abraham and Job lived before there's any Bible, before there's any covenant with God. The first covenant came with Abraham, and that didn't come with a lot of commandments. It was just a covenant between Abraham and God. The commandments and the Ten Commandments came later, about 500 years later. So Job chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." He had no idea that fear opened the door to the devil. He didn't even know there was a devil. And you'll see that. Job did not have any of the scriptures we have. He did not know about Satan, and he did not know fear opens the door to the devil. We can't compare ourselves to Job. I'm just another Job. We got a big advantage over Job. Jesus Christ blotted out my sins and my sickness and diseases. Job didn't have that privilege. Job lived in fear and blamed God for every bad thing, as many people do today. So let's see what Job believed. And remember, I used to believe the opposite, so listen to why I changed my mind. Of course, the real reason was Matthew 8, 16, and 17, because I began to realize if he's here to take my infirmities and my sicknesses, then I can't go around blaming everything on him, because he's here to take it away. In Job chapter 6, verse 4, now listen to this man. Here's what he believed. God's terrors are marshaled against me. In other words, God is attacking me. Has God ever attacked you? Job 9:17, he would multiply my wounds for no reason. You see, God is hurting me for no reason. Verse 22, see, preachers, they preach things and don't even read the Bible. That would be me back then. Verse 22, he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. You know that's not true. He blesses his people. I came from the wrong side of the tracks, gave my heart to Jesus Christ when I was 11 years old, and he has totally changed my life. I've been blessed all these years, even though I came from a place that wasn't really that blessed. I've been blessed probably more than anybody else in my family because I made a decision not only to accept Christ but to serve him and live for him. Not bragging on me, that's just a smart thing to do. Verse 22, he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. You see, Job blamed God, but it was Satan. You read it, it was Satan. So this man was no saint. He said some really mean things about God. Verse 24, now it says he's righteous, but you can be righteous and keep the Ten Commandments and still have a bad attitude and still live in fear, doubt, and unbelief. There's a lot of saved, born-again people right now living in fear, doubt, unbelief, and part of it's because they will not get in the Word of God like they're supposed to, and they go to church once a year. We have some responsibility. It's not all God. And we need to listen to that part, too. I'm talking about Job, but we need to be sure we're reading the Bible, meditating on the Word of God, in church every Sunday more if we possibly can. And need to be in a victory group, small group, too. On Wednesday night, I go back over some of these scriptures on healing, and we just go over it and over until it begins to have a greater impact on our lives. You need to be in one of these groups. Dave and Jane have a real good, and there's several of them, but they have an in-home group. Mine's a Zoom group. I've loved to Zoom all my life, but most time I was Zooming in a car. But this is a great opportunity for us to come together on Wednesday night, go over the Word of God and pray over it and build each other's faith. Verse 24, if it is not he, if it is not God, who is it? I told you, you didn't even know there was a devil. He said, who's causing all these problems? And Christians today, after all these years and all these scriptures, they're still in the same place that Job was. I have all these problems because God's putting this on me. Read the Bible, it's not God. And I say most Christians in the United States of America don't even believe in the devil. I'm not talking about born again Christians, but they, so many of these churches, even their pastors who are born again would tell you a big percentage of some of these pastors, some of these denominational churches, not even saved. And a lot of their preachers admit it. Somebody say amen. I heard one of the Baptist preachers said that. He said, boy, there's a lot of dead wood in the Baptist churches. A lot of these people not even right with God. Well, that's true of Assemblies of God Church, every church. Can you say amen? Now, we need to all get right with God and live for God and serve God and quit blaming God. Why did God put this on me? Dottie heard a lady on the radio years ago. And she had HIV and then AIDS. And she asked the guy who she's talking to, she says, why did God put this on me? God didn't put it on her. She put it on herself. Amen. Somebody smoked for 40 years to have lung cancer. Why did God put this on me? Amen. And not being critical or mean, I'm just telling you that we can get healed, but we may have to change our lifestyle a little bit. May have to change our lifestyle a little bit. And a lot of people kind of criticize me. Well, Barry believes in all the miracle power of God. Why does he take all these vitamins and go run 2 miles or run a mile, whatever, and pump all this iron and try to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Why does he do all of that? Well, I gave up on looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger a long time ago. So I do those things because I believe I have an obligation before God to take care of myself. And then when I get in trouble, I say, God, I've been trying, man. I need your help. Job chapter 1, verse 21, Job says, The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. I want to challenge that. Job said some things that's wrong. And if you quote Job, you better be careful. Job is an inspired book from God. But the inspiration means that it's recorded what they said accurately. It doesn't mean what they said is accurate. You read those comforters that sat with him, they came up with some of the craziest things you ever heard of. And I've heard preachers quote some of those things. That's what the Lord didn't say that pagan comforter did. And God rebuked all of them, including Job. And then we get up and quote the stuff they said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. That's not New Testament. That's not Scripture. God has never taken anything away from me. He gives, He gives, He gives, He gives. He blesses, blesses, blesses. And if I've lost anything, it's me and the devil. It's not God. You see, this is not what Jesus said. I mean, just don't take one thing. Even in Scripture, you can't just take one. You just can't take one thing and build a whole message on it, a whole doctrine on it. Look, this is not what Jesus said. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It was the thief stealing from Job. Yes, he opened the door to the devil through fear, doubt, unbelief, and a horrible attitude. You see, Jesus was on this earth 33 years. He never put anything bad on anyone ever. And even when Peter was preaching, he said, you've heard of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. How he went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good and healing. He never put one bad thing on anyone ever. And the Christians do have a lot of bad things, but they open the door to the devil. The devil does it. And God allows it. I know it's possible for God to put something on someone to bring them to redemption, bring them to repentance, but it would be totally for that. But God don't even have to do that. All he's got to do is just hold his hand back and let the devil do it, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and all he needs is open door. If you've got some unrepentant of sin in your life, you need to repent of it right now and get it out, because it opens the door to the devil. And if it was God, he'd have more mercy. But the devil's not going to have any mercy. In Psalm 84, verse 11, look, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What are you going to do with that? Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. No, he withholds nothing good from me. He didn't take anything away except bad stuff. But the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's why I had a hard time talking all winter long until I was about 33 years old, because I really believed sickness was from God. It was a blessing. Somehow God was using it. And it turned out it was the devil keeping me from talking all winter. Okay. You see, I really am smart. It just takes me a while to catch on. It takes me a while to catch on. Hey, this can't be God. And even Job said, well, if it's not God, who is it? It's Lucifer. It's Satan. It's the devil. He's not just a little boogeyman. He is really evil. And he has great power. But he's no match for you if you know the name of Jesus and know the power in that name and know the authority you have. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. See, it's kind of important to walk uprightly as God helps us. God does not withhold good things from the obedient. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Where is it there that it says he takes it away? He just says he adds. Amen. You know, I'm a pretty good reader. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God giveth and giveth and giveth. Because I know that Satan comes to devour, I use my authority to stop him. I just don't sit back like anything come on me. Well, everybody else got it. I guess I'm next. I guess I'm not. God, devil tried to put COVID on me. And I mean, I woke up one, and everybody in my family by that time had it, including my mama. You know, and everybody around me had it. I woke up one day, got up, and I couldn't breathe. I literally couldn't breathe. And I said, you foul devil. Now, when you're in the middle of something like that, it's kind of hard to believe. And so you got to get this in you before you get in that situation. Amen. If you wait till you're half dead and try to learn the scripture, maybe a little late. But I knew. And I had an image of the Lord Jesus Christ standing before me with Calvary in the background. He was standing there take away my infirmities, my sicknesses. As I was preaching that one Sunday night, I saw him standing available to take my infirmities, my sicknesses, and I focused my attention on that. I said, Lord Jesus, I need you to take this thing away, whatever it is. I need to breathe. And I fought it for about an hour, and all of a sudden, it was gone. But you see, I wouldn't have done that when I was in my early 30s because I didn't know I could do that. Somebody say amen. And please, I don't put myself on no pedestal. I don't sound like I'm bragging. I have nothing to do with it. I was preaching opposite to what I'm preaching now, and that God confronted me and said, do you believe I'm here? Yes. Do you believe I'm here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? Truly hath borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Chastised for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Do you believe I'm here to fulfill that prophecy? Do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? It changed my whole world. And so I can't get up here and say, look how smart I am. I have to tell you how dumb I was. God had to slap me upside the head practically to get my attention. See, Job was full of fear, worry, and anxiety. We are commanded not to fear and worry. The Bible says, fear not. Well, I can't help it. Well, you can help it. I can help it because God said, do not do it. If he says, do not do it, then we can help it by getting in the Word of God and praying and driving the fear away. Fear is like other things. You can't just grit your teeth. Sometimes you got to get in the Word of God and pray down the peace of God. So let's compare Job to Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham and Job lived at about the same time. Abraham operated by faith and did not question God as Job did. Job greatly feared and worried about things, but Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. God said, this is a righteous man because he believed God enough to serve him, obey him. He called Abraham to follow him and go to a country that he did not know anything about. Job loaded up his camels, pitched Sarah up on top, and took off following God. And God said, that is a righteous man because he has faith in me. Job was totally opposite. Can you see a difference? They lived in the same generation, according to the Bible scholars. There was a lot of bad things that happened to Job that did not happen to Abraham. Job had a fear that his children would bring a curse on themselves, and they did because of their drunken orgies. They opened the door to the curse, and the devil killed them. John chapter 7, verse 11, Job said, therefore, I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. You see, Job is doing one of the things that kept Israel out of the promised land, complaining against God. Because he didn't know about the Israelites going into the promised land because he lived way before them, around the year 2000 B.C. Verse 13, when I think my bed will comfort me, my couch will ease my complaint. Even then you frighten me. Talking about God, you frighten me with dreams and terrify me with visions. When you have nightmares, are they coming from God? He said they were. He didn't know any better. Especially if you come to a church like this, you need to know better. I never have bad dreams. But the other night I had one. And I said, devil, you're not going to put this stuff on me, you lying creep. Now get out of here. Amen. And that's the last one. Don't put dreams like that on me. Try to torment me in my sleep. Now, if you believe God did that, I don't want your God. I want to keep my God. Okay. My God doesn't do stuff like that. John chapter 14, verse 27. My peace. Here's what the Lord says, my peace I give unto you, not frightening dreams. It just pays us sometimes just to read the whole Bible. Amen. John 14, 27, my peace I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled. If my heart is troubled and agitated, that's on me. Because he said, I have given you peace, and don't you allow the devil to agitate or trouble your heart. Amens are coming slow today, but they eventually get around to coming. My peace I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled. If you want to be healed and stay healed, you've got to pray down the peace of God. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to flood your heart with the peace of God, and then don't allow the devil to agitate it. He comes with all these little things. Well, what about your kids? What about your job? Your boss didn't look at you right. Maybe he's going to fire you. I mean, he's always just these little fiery darts always tormenting us, and we have to make up our mind we're not going to listen to that stuff. Amen. And if we do get fired, that's okay. God's got a better job. Amen. You see, Job is accusing God of using dreams and visions to terrify him, verse 15. So is this helping anybody? Can you see Job in a different light here? And I'm not criticizing God. He didn't know any better. But we know better. That's the comparison. Okay. So that he says, verse 15, so that I prefer strangling and death. He said, I'd rather somebody strangle me to death than have to put up with God and all the bad things he's doing to me. So that I prefer strangling and death rather than this body of mine. He says, because of God, I prefer strangling and death. Abraham never accused God like that. And he never operated in fear and doubt, but in faith and confidence. God told him, his name was Abram. He said, you're going to have a son with Sarah, and you're going to become the father of many nations. And he asked him to change his name, so he changed his name to Father of Many Nations. And they didn't have a child together until he was 100 years old. He waited 25 years living in faith and never one time accused God. It says no distrust or unbelief caused him to waver or doubtfully question concerning the promise of God. Can y'all not see a difference between Job and Abraham? Verse 16, I despise my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone. My days have no meaning. Job became so upset with God that he told him to leave him alone. Just leave me alone. I don't recommend you doing that. I don't tell him leave me alone. I intercede before heaven, asking, keep on asking, seeking, keep on seeking, knocking, keep on knocking. I press in until I hear from him. I don't tell him to leave me alone. You see, I know that bad things come from the devil, didn't come from God. And so I'm not going to blame God. Job didn't know that. Job didn't know that. Job was righteous before God, but he had fear, doubt, unbelief, and a bad attitude. How many Christians do you know that they're full of fear, doubt, unbelief? They do not believe the Bible, do not read the Bible, and they have a bad attitude. You know anybody like that? But don't you think that those things might cause problems? A bad attitude, if you're born again, can still get you fired. Somebody say amen. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever Job was saying was coming out of his heart. Statements like Job made come out of the heart. These things can open the door to the devil. Job really believed that God was his problem, but when he found out he wasn't, he repented. That's all that's required. But God finally had enough of his belly aching. Now listen to what God said. Here's what God said to Job, and I think he may be saying it to me and some of us. Job 40, verse 8. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? You ever heard a preacher read that besides me? God confronted the guy. Said, would you condemn me to justify yourself with all the fear and doubt and unbelief and all the mess in your life? You going to blame me? I've just read it. You don't have to believe it, I guess. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? See, that's been in the Bible all the time. Nobody's bothered to read it. Or at least they did. They didn't bother to quote it. Job was accusing God of being, or at least I didn't hear him. Job was accusing God of being unjust while insisting he himself was perfect. It is easy to discredit and condemn God to justify our failures, such as disobeying God in prayer, by not praying, fasting, refusing to do any fasting, refusing to read the Bible, refusing to go to church, refusing to tithe and give offerings. It's real easy to cause problems that way and then blame God for it. Many of us refuse to do God's word and then blame God when we get in trouble. Somebody say amen. And this is not being critical or mean in any way. I'm just showing you that poor old Job had some issues. Now look, I'm not done. Sometimes we have failures because we allow doubt and belief and a negative attitude. Would you condemn me to justify yourself and your own shortcomings and your sins and rebellion against me? Are you going to blame me? You got AIDS, you're going to blame me? You got lung cancer and you smoked for 40 years, you're going to blame me? That doesn't mean he won't heal you, but you need to repent first. You see, our responsibility is to obey God. Now, after God rebuked Job, he repented. See, he did have a good heart toward God as soon as he realized he was a problem. And in a sense, he was a problem because he was blaming everything on God. And God had never done anything directly bad to him, so He was wrong in that sense. Anyway, he repented. In Job 42, verse 3, surely I spoke of things I did not understand. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I didn't understand that it wasn't God, it's the devil. Amen. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You see, the Lord takes away. No, the Lord, no good thing will it withhold from them that walk uprightly. Job said a lot of bad things about God that are not true. Be careful about quoting stuff from the book of Job. Read it, make sure it's God saying it and not. And some of the things Job said is very good. Most of the things I would say, a big percentage of things those comforters said is not true. The book of Job was written to tell us not to complain and blame everything on God. But we didn't get the point, did we? That's what this whole thing is about. Job, quit condemning me to justify yourself. Quit complaining about everything. And repent and make things right. The book of Job was written to tell us to not complain and blame everything on God, but we do it anyway. Job says, My ears, now listen to this. My ears had heard of you. In other words, I've only heard about you. I don't even know you. Abraham knew God personally. I'm just reading it. Is that what it says in your book? Is that what it says on the screen? My ears had heard of you, but my eyes have seen you. Now my eyes have seen you. Until now, Job did not know God in a personal way like Abraham. Verse 6, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. If Job was perfect, why did he repent? Oh, he was a perfect man. If he was perfect, why did he repent? Job had some opinions and attitudes that were wrong, but God corrected him, just like he corrected me on healing. After Job repented, God restored his health and his possessions double. In Job 42, verse 10, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. You see, Job proves that it is God's will to heal and prosper his people. Not only does it not prove it's God's will for people to be sick and suffer and live in poverty, it proves exactly the opposite. Once we repent and serve God, and God brings us out of Satan's slavery, out of sin slavery, brings us out into the kingdom of God, transfers us from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. We're new creations in Jesus Christ, and now we're candidates for blessing, not curses, because you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Job didn't have any benefits like that. After this, Job lived a healthy and prosperous 140 years. People say, I'm just like poor old Job. Well, if you're just another Job, then do what Job did. Repent, get healed, and prosper. You see, we have the responsibility to pray, stand on the word, and rebuke Satan. Paul's thorn in the flesh, that was another one. Well, you see, Paul was sick, he couldn't get healed. Paul's thorn in the flesh, and the New Testament Christians who were sick were all problems for my faith. Why did Paul have that thorn? Why did some people get sick? There's no promise that you're not going to get attacked by the devil. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Peter said your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to steal from you, steal your health, wreck your life, destroy your family, wreck your job. Can you say amen? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you may get sick, but there's healing available. I sure have gotten sick. Several times the devil tried to kill me with COVID. I fought back. And that happened that one time. And the next day, it got even worse. I was sick all over. But I stood in faith. And he submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. 2 Corinthians, you're not going to resist him, though, if you think it's God putting it on you. 2 Corinthians 12, 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. He said, I had so many revelations, I'm about to become prideful and arrogant, and God allowed this thorn to keep me humble. And I'm not spiritual enough to need a thorn. Can you say amen? This guy, he was having all these revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace, my provisions on Calvary is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, my provision on Calvary is sufficient to save, deliver, and heal. Truly born out of sickness and carried away of pains. So he said, my grace is sufficient to heal you. It's not saying what we've been taught. It's saying, you see, if the thorn was sickness, then the only logical meaning is that my grace is sufficient for your healing. It is, if it is sickness, this is saying that Paul will be healed later, just like Job was. And I think I can prove to you, Paul did get sick, but he didn't stay sick. Does it say you will not be healed? We assume it says you're not going to be healed. It doesn't say that, does it? He just says, my grace, my provision on Calvary is sufficient for you. But the truth is, the thorn in the flesh was not sickness. And here it is. I ran out of time. Got to go. You want me to finish it?
Yes.
Here it is. A thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. The word messenger is angelos, an angel of Satan, a demon to buffet me. That's what it was. And how did it work? This tells us exactly what the thorn was. It was a demon sent from Satan to buffet or torment Paul. There was a demon assigned to Paul everywhere he went. This demon caused riots, attacks, and rejection. He had more attacks and rejection than any other, this record of any other apostles. This demon was assigned to him to cause problems so he wouldn't get prideful and arrogant. Can you say amen?
Amen.
This was allowed to keep the man humble. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in humility. Amen. We need to stay humble before the Lord. You see, a thorn is never referred to as a sickness in the Bible, but as harassing and tormenting evil people. Numbers chapter 33, verse 55. Is this on your screen? I don't want to turn around and let my halo shock you. Numbers 33, 55. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. And that's what this demon was doing for Paul. He was stirring up people to attack Paul. These people shall be thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you. Judges chapter 2, verse 3. I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be. The only reason I'm reading this is to show you what the thorns were. But they shall be thorns in your side. A thorn in the Bible is not sickness, but harassing people. Like Stan harassing me. And me harassing Stan. I'm Stan's thorn. Can you say, oh me? Galatians 3:11. See, believe it or not, I've seen Bible scholar, and see, I'm a graduate of a great seminary and a great university, and I've heard some people say some pretty unusual things. See, with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. And some scholars say, well, see there, he was blind. He had this eye disease, and he had all this pulse running out of his eyes, and he couldn't see. That's not the case at all. It doesn't say that at all. See, with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. This does not mean that Paul was blind or had an eye disease. The truth is, he had a secretary that wrote his letters. And he assigned them in large letters so to call attention to the fact, hey, I'm the one that rewrote this. That's just historical fact. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, Erasmus. Now, this is some of the things I use to justify being sick and justify in not believing in healing. Maybe it's not a problem for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick and Miletus. It doesn't say God didn't heal him. It says, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him with oil, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord raise him up. He didn't say he wasn't going to heal him. This does not say he was not healed, but there is a time appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Philippians chapter 2, verse 27, indeed, he Epaphras was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow, verse 29, welcome him in the Lord, verse 30, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Epaphroditus made himself sick from overwork, but he is healed and is on his way to help these people some more. devil's going to attack you with sickness. But if it's not God's time for you to go, you can pray and get healed, I believe. Amen. Almost every time I've been sick in the last 40-some-odd years, I've made myself sick from overwork. My hobby is work. Can you say amen? Amen. 1 Timothy 5:23, drink no longer water. Have you ever told anybody not to drink water? But I would use this. Oh, see there? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for the stomach's sake, and then oft infirmities. Well, see, he was just sick. No, they were polluted water. I believe in healing, but I'm not going to drink polluted water. We live in a great country. We have so many blessings we don't even appreciate most of them. It's great to live in a country where you have chlorine in your water and you can drink it. You can drink it out of the faucet. Can you say amen? And it won't kill you. But in a lot of countries, you get amoeba and everything else in that water, and it'll kill you. And so he says, use a little wine to kill that amoeba in the water. He wasn't saying he had some chronic illness. And even if it did, God healed him, I believe. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine. In other words, he's saying, take your vitamins and do what you know to do. Take care of yourself and make sure your water's got chlorine in it at the right amount. Of course, chlorine can kill you if they get too much in it. But use a little wine for the stomach's sake. Well, that's my daddy's favorite verse in the whole Bible. Use a little wine, except he thought it meant a lot of wine. For thy stomach's sake. You say they didn't have chlorine, but they had wine. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Every one of us will die unless Christ returns first. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Healing is to keep us healthy until our time to go to heaven. Let's all stand.